parable of the ten virgins. This parable finds its setting during the week leading up to the death of Jesus on the cross. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus leaves the temple for the last time. As Jesus leaves this impressive structure and looks back, notice what is said in Matthew 24 and verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus and his disciples then go up to the Mount of Olives, which had an impressive view of the temple. And the Lord's disciples ask two questions. When will the temple be destroyed? And when will you come to destroy the world? Jesus answers these questions one at a time. He talks about the temple destruction in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 34. And then the final destruction in Matthew 24, verses 35 through 41. As a side note, consider this significant point. Signs would be seen leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem, but no signs would be seen leading up to the end of the world. To develop these points even more, Jesus proclaims three parables in Matthew 25. There's the parable of the ten virgins in verses 1 through 13. There's the parable of the talents in verses 14 through 30. And then there's the parable of the sheep and the goats, verses 31 through 46. But we focus our time on the parable of the ten virgins and the bridegroom. The weddings in the ancient East were almost always at night, involving ten maidens. The bridegroom would go into the house of the bride to escort her with pomp and gladness, either to his home or another place for a period of feasting. The ten virgins would have their lamps burning, awaiting the wedding party at some point along the way, and they would then join the procession to the feast. Many times the bridegroom would tarry at the home of the bride, and it would be late before he went to the place of celebration. It has been told that in those days that was the one day of the year when the bridegroom, he was king. That is, he might have been a ditch digger and not employed every day. And still, on the day of his wedding, he would call the dance, if you will. He would tell them when we're going. He would tell them how fast we were going. He would tell his party how late the party would be. Everything would be his decision. That was simply how things were, because the day after, things weren't his decision anymore quite often. When he went to work, he was at the beck and call of whoever his boss was. And there were many other things that he had to answer to. The ten virgins would have their lamps burning, awaiting the wedding party at some point along the way. And they would then join the procession to the feast. Many times the bridegroom would tarry. Number E, the virgins were to remain alert with their lamps burning, no matter what time or how late the bridegroom and his company came by. If the virgins went to sleep or did not have sufficient oil in their lamps to keep them burning, or if they were gone for some reason when the bridegroom came, they would miss out on the festivities and would bring embarrassment to themselves, disappointment. The parable of the ten virgins itself. Let's read Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The virgins represent those in the kingdom or the church. The coming of the bridegroom represents the second coming of Christ. The lamps represent the faith of Christians. The extra oil symbolizes good works that accompany our faith. Jesus proclaims this parable to teach us the urgent need to always be prepared for his second coming. The parable of the 10 virgins shows that we must be prepared. I don't know how to stress that enough for this. If you leave this particular sermon without this in your mind, we must be prepared, then I have failed. We must be prepared, and that's what Jesus wants you to know in this parable of the virgins, of the 10 virgins. Some were wise and had extra oil, kept their lamps burning bright. Others were foolish, and they did not get to enter in. The parable of the 10 virgins shows that we must be prepared, because just having our name on the church roll is no guarantee of heaven. There are one of two directories that Christians usually put their stock in. There is the church directory. Well, my name's on the church directory, and I can receive mail, and I can recognized as part of a particular congregation. And then there is the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be on the church.